This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
What's up, everybody? Pete Corielli here. Unfortunately, there's no new show this week. But in the meantime, DJ Hank was kind enough to put together a best of some of the funnier moments that were going down just before the old pandemic kicked in. So sit back. Hopefully you'll enjoy these. We will definitely be back next week, ready to go. A lot of new things going on with the cast that we're looking forward to announcing. A little growing and changing with the times, I guess you'd say. It's getting exciting. It's getting more and more exciting. And none of this would mean anything without the listenership of you guys. We got the best fucking listeners in the whole world. Who are we kidding? I mean, the class is just oozes. It oozes. And we've been having a great time, and we continue to. Sorry about all this, man. Really am. But hopefully you'll enjoy these clips. I know we got some new listeners each week, so maybe this is stuff you haven't heard. And like I said, we'll catch you next week, man. Later.
Keep it going, guy.
We gotta win this thing.
So I was in Las Vegas at a corporate event, and the corporate event was at the Rio, but I was staying at the Wynn Hotel just because I like the Wynn Hotel and I like the spa. So I went down for a steam before the show, and I'm very covered, as you well know, when I go into these environments. Robe, towel, slippers, the whole thing. I mean, only skin you're really seeing is my ankles and my head and my hands.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go in the steam room, and the way I do the steam is I go in there wrapped in a towel. Underneath, I got no clothes. I'm just wrapped in a towel.
Wait, yeah.
So I take the robe off. Yeah. And guy turns the corner, heavy set.
My jeans are husky.
And he goes, Sebastian. Now, he's naked.
Thinking. He's naked.
With a towel over his shoulder.
Doing a naked intro?
So, I don't look down to see that he's naked. Do you ever just feel that someone's naked without even looking?
Yes. Yes. Okay. A man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he goes, Sebastian, oh my God, a big fan. I can't believe you're here. I'm a singer and I'm performing in Las Vegas. And really, and he starts reciting some bits. Now,
come on.
I'm like, you're naked. Eh?
Yeah. Did you say that?
No, in my head, I'm saying it. And I'm trying to get into the steam room, but he's kind of like in the way. Nice enough guy. It's just like, I would think you would put a towel on before you come up to anybody in the spa. All right?
Yes.
I go, thank you. He goes, hey, can I get a selfie with you? Oh, come on.
Oh, whoa.
This guy wants to take a naked selfie? He wants to take a Nelfie?
What the hell?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Is that with us?
I mean, I got to stop this right here.
Oh, wait. I thought that was a...
No, that's the real thing.
No, I mean, we had 2 weeks ago, we had a 25-minute segment on Brad Pitt and the hotness of him. Last week, we had Pete trying to rank the NFL quarterbacks on looks. And now I pop in on a conversation, and Sebastian's taking selfies in the nude. This show is off the rails.
Oh, man.
Wow.
J.J. Watt, you might have a point, bro. It might have been the last two casts. I think I've had men go, you know what? You can approach Sebastian naked. They just love men. It's good to go. Brad Pitt. What is up, bro?
What is going on? How are we doing?
So word just came out today that Watt is hosting SNL the night before Super Bowl. Let's give a round of applause. We're finally going to see the improvisational skills of J.J. Watt on a high level.
Yeah, man. I got. Let me tell you one story just to put in perspective what acting task you are taking on. And this is really something, man, what you're doing. I used to work front desk at a hotel. There was an Irish bar down below, and there was an old-time Irish bartender. And I was hanging out with him one time, asking for stories through the years. And he said one of his favorites was one time on a Saturday mid-afternoon at about 4:30, Robert Redford came in alone, sat down at his bar, and had two pints. And when he first sat, I said, "How you doing?" He got to talking. Robert Redford said, "I'm on Saturday Night Live tonight, and I'm more nervous than I've ever been as a performer in my entire career."
Ho! That's great.
Was that a great story? What the? I'm off my game at iHeart. This place sucks. It does nothing for my. I haven't been funny since we came here, bro. The corporate man is dragging me down, guy.
Let's go back to Sebastian telling a story of a man taking off his robe.
Bro, so. This guy was in the spa and he was naked. He wanted to take a selfie naked. I mean, come on. Have you ever run into that in your career where somebody wants to take a selfie and they're naked?
I have not. That is new. That breaks protocol.
For sure. When he said hi, I'm a big fan. Did he shake your hand? Did he come for the handshake?
No, we did it. We did a fist pump.
That's practically sex, bro. He's naked and you're physically touching hands. You practically.
Was he holding a towel?
He had a towel over his shoulder. But here, this is the guy to ask. You're in a locker room with 50 some odd guys. Is it common for two guys to stand toe-to-toe naked and have a conversation?
Absolutely not.
Okay, see, not. That's what I'm saying. All right? Yeah. It's not even happening in football locker rooms.
Let's break it down here. I mean, if we're going to get into this scenario. Towel over the shoulder, but no towel on your body. What's the thought process behind that? What could go through your head when you're like, I have a towel, I'm going to speak to another man, I'm going to throw it over my shoulder instead of around my waist?
I don't know. I've never put a towel over my right shoulder and walked through a locker room. Now, I've taken a towel and wrapped it around my neck and let it drape over my chest with the towel on.
Right.
But this guy went single towel over the right shoulder. And then on top of that, after the fist bump, he goes, that would be pretty weird if we did that, right? I go, yeah.
What, a selfie? Pretty.
Yeah, I go, we ain't doing that. And then I went into the steam room, and I just, throughout the whole experience, I was running into this guy. Like, I came out of the steam to get a little air. Yeah. He's there, and he starts it up again. Four separate times throughout the spa, this guy started a conversation with me. And by the end of it, he's telling me what to do with my career.
I love the confidence. I mean, that is confident man right there.
I don't know, man.
Was he Italian or Jewish by any chance?
Italian. Come on, man.
Well, I find that Italians and older Italians and Jews are the most inclined to walk around naked, like confident.
No Italians I know are walking around like that. So
now,
but that's
Salvo,
beside the point. Salvo, no, he's police. Although Salvo wears, and he wore it to my wedding at the pool, they call it a mutani in Italian. He had it was like boy shorts. He had like a Speedo.
Who?
My father.
Well, the Italians wear the Speedo. He's wearing a Speedo at his age?
Yeah. He's 67 at the time. He's wearing a Speedo.
I love it.
That's a badass move. That's like drinking wine out of a juice glass.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a request from our friend JJ Watt. I'm thinking the guy gets product from Reebok. So, JJ, you want to send us some shoes? What's your size, Pete?
Oh, we're doing this. Let's do this. I'm 10 and a half.
I'm a 9. Send it our way.
You're a 9? How are you not falling over?
I got a very wide foot. I almost got a size 9 wide.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're a duck.
I'm a total duck, man. I walk like a duck. No, it doesn't bother me.
That's a little embarrassing, no?
I don't know. I never thought of it. I thought it was pretty unique.
It's Chinese. I don't know any grown man with a 9 foot. I don't. That's tiny. It's
It's almost like Prince. It's like Prince-like.
When you tell the guy at the store that you, when he says what size and you say 9, do you whisper? You're like 9.
No. You know what? It's funny. My size is always out, so I gotta figure that a lot of guys are 9. Like a 10 and a half, I always see that. Always.
Yeah, because that's a man.
The way we. The Pete and Sebastian Show.
Although right. I must say,
yeah,
I told Lana this. I look at myself in pictures with people who are taller than me,
yeah,
and I never think I'm shorter than them until I see myself in a photo.
Oh, that's a good way to feel about yourself, man. You know, seriously, I rarely am in a photo with a man that I think is as good looking as me. Same thing until I see the photo. But sort of the same concept, man.
Wait. What? When you meet a guy
When
you meet a guy for the first time,
uh-huh,
do you automatically go, I'm better looking than this guy?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
That's one of the first things that crosses your mind.
That and first is I'm better looking than him, and then second is do I think that he realizes in his head that I'm better looking than him? You know, because you can tell some guys are mistaken that they're not, and it's ridiculous. But other guys, you could tell right away that I'm telling you, bro. I feel like I'm catching other men emulating me around town. Like, you know, like I'm a man's man. It's a hard thing to explain, man.
Give me an example in Fredonia. What are people doing that they're like, yeah, I got a, this is a Pete.
I find more people now with coffee at the gym. All of a sudden, I see a lot of people doing coffee. A big thing I do is in between exercises, I do stomach instead of resting. Oh, everybody's doing stomach stuff now in between.
Wait a minute. You're looking around the gym.
Why?
You're telling me prior to working out at the gym, before you even came there, nobody had a cup of coffee.
I didn't, no, because I was like, wow, man, my last gym had a coffee machine. What are you hicks doing, man? Nothing. I'm the only one even bringing this shit in. And then now all of a sudden I'm seeing like people, I feel like they're going, oh, of Corielli. There's a lot of that in homes around Fredonia. If Corielli's doing it. All right, check this out. Jackie is now, she is teaching, I guess you call it instructing spin class once a week. She took the little bit of training and, you know, I went in and did it once, but that seat is just a brutal killer.
Oh, well, Harry, you're bringing up a good one here, and I'm going to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No problem.
Is she one of these instructors that's just talking and yelling during the damn thing the whole time?
Yes, but there is a woman in charge of the program that you use, and she sits in and watches you do the class a few times, and you're expected to do that stuff. If you're just silent, the lady's going to have a problem with that.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you. When Jackie's doing the come on, whatever she's doing,
yeah,
are you going, are you editing in your head going, nah, you got to lose that. You can't tell the people. Go, ah! Stop! Like, are you like, yes.
I took her class and I made mental notes to tell her. And one of the big ones is there's a screen next to them. Yeah. So when you're on your machine, it shows all of our bikes on that screen. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
And if you and your screen has like a circle pie chart, and like she's like, "All right, pedal fast, get your bike into purple," and she'll be like, "Bike 15, let's get it up there." She doesn't really point out bikes because she doesn't want to put people on the spot. But with me, she'd go, "Who's on bike 15?" And then she goes to the class. That's my husband. I'm just messing with him. But she can see what you're doing. Now, while she's doing that, she keeps looking over at her screen to see where she is, too. So afterwards, I said, your instruction and to push it and stuff, I go, I like it. You don't tell me nonstop. You tell me to do what I can do. I love your jib. I love the sound of your jib. But you keep looking at the screen behind you. It makes me feel like maybe you don't know what you're doing, right? Like, you should be straight on looking at us the whole time, right? The reason I brought that up, Brian, was because they had their Christmas party now for anyone who works at the gym. The other day, they all got together at a bar. And she said they were joking about you saying when you're on a machine, like a treadmill or a bike or something, Pete always just has his head down with his music on and he never looks up, right? So I'm like, there you go. They're looking at my technique. They're watching me, guys. I'm telling you, man.
The Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
And I got so much to get into, man. Yeah, I was in Naples, Florida, and let me just start in on this. Got there on, what is today, Wednesday? Yeah, a week ago. Wednesday. And prior to leaving, I noticed Serafina coughing a little bit, right?
Oh,
and I'm like, here we go. Something's coming. Right. Storm's coming. So when we get there Wednesday, the cough is a little bit more persistent. And then Thursday, it hits. Has your daughter ever had the flu, Sadie?
Sick, but not the flu, no. Okay. No, thank God.
Well, God. The flu has a distinguished look. You know, the kid's face almost drops, and it looks kind of puffy and whatnot. And I go, she's got something. So our doctor, who's fantastic, who we're always kind of talking to, we become really good friends with him.
Yeah.
We took pictures, we sent it to him. He goes, yeah, I want you to go to the doctor tomorrow. I want you to get the flu test. So my mother-in-law sets us up. By the way, Naples, Florida, average age in Naples, Florida, look this up, in 2017, 65.7. That's the average age in Naples, Florida, okay?
Holy shit.
Getting to see a pediatrician, no problem, same day. They got openings galore. We called up, they're like, when can you get here? I mean, it nothing.
Yeah.
To see a neurologist or a heart thing, forget it. You got to wait a month and a half. Pediatrician, write it. But then I'm thinking, do I really want to see a pediatrician in Naples, Florida? Does he have any practice?
Yeah. Right? He's got one client. He's calling the mom. How's Tim? How's little Timmy? Yeah, I hear you.
So my mother-in-law actually got us in. I guess she called a friend of hers. Like, yeah, you could see it, whatever. So we go in. Now, when I got on the phone and I made the appointment, and I don't know if you do this, but I tend to like test the waters to see if they got sense of humor. So over the phone, I'll kind of say something funny or say something what I think is kind of witty just to see what I'm dealing with. They either ain't getting it or they don't want to get it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, what are we walking into here?
Do you remember the joke?
Ah, God, what was it? It was something like, I couldn't remember the time. She goes, okay, so we'll see you at 1:30, and then writing the name down. I said, all right, I'll see you at 1. She goes, no, sir, we will see you at 1:30. I go, 1:30, who's looking, you know? And she goes, sir, you know, so I go, okay. You know, this is what I'm dealing with. So
yeah.
We walk into this office, and it's dark. I mean, there's no lights on. We're only getting light from the outside window. I'm like, hey, cheap?
Yeah.
Put a light on. Wow. I check in with the woman, the receptionist.
Yeah.
She's got a kid, a sick kid on her lap. And I'm like, oh, I'm thinking, and oh, this is probably a sick kid that's there. Maybe the mother went to the bathroom, and she's just hanging on to the kid.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, it's in Maniscalco, here's Serafina, yeah, for the paperwork, for all the paperwork. And I'm looking around the office. It's sad. The office is sad.
Yeah.
So much so that the stuffed animals look sad.
Yeah.
Like
take me out of here. How about you?
I'd say that's a bad thing, man. Because now you feel like the doctor must suck.
Well, I'm thinking, man, not getting customer service at the reception desk. Kid's sick, obviously, at the reception desk. Already, we're meted with a virus right away. Yeah. And then, you know, Caruso's there with us because we wanted to see if he had the flu, too. He had no symptoms, but we wanted to also test him, so...
Well, by the time you walked in there, you like may as well take him in the back too.
As soon as we walked in, the whole family had something. So we walk in, and oh, sorry, yeah. I asked where the bathroom was. You ever get this? You go into an establishment and you go, "Where's the restroom? All right, could I use your restroom? Yeah, go ahead." But you don't know where it is, and then you look at them, and they're like. And they're like, yeah, it's through the door to the left. Like, okay, how would I know that, number one? So I go in the bathroom, and while I'm in the bathroom, Serafina, Lana, and Caruso go in the doctor's office.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go to a doctor's office, I know my kid's sick, and I know something is going to happen to my kid, whether it be a test or the doctor. I know Serafina doesn't really like getting, you know, touched and whatnot. Yeah. I try to make it light. So I came into the room, and the nurse was in there, and I go, oh, my God, what a room. Look at this. And, you know, the nurse, deadpan.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, wow.
And Lana's like, what do you mean, well?
No, I find that nurses tend to, like, I have someone like by me, man. It's just, she just kind of kills my fucking the room buzz.
Yeah, kills the room.
Yeah.
Kills the room. Like... whatever happiness I was trying to bring into the room is completely shut down because this woman's looking at me like, this is the doctor's office. I'm trying to like keep it light. So she goes, okay, we're going to do the test. Now, the test, when you do a flu test, they take a large cotton swab,
mm-hmm.
and they basically stick it all the way up your nose. They go really far. It's really, it's not a good test.
Was the nurse doing this?
Nurse is going to do it.
Yeah, it's the nurse has become quite a long opening act. You ever find out? I'm like, will I be seeing a fucking doctor at any point? Holy shit, lady. You've done everything. The doctor's going to come in with the fucking receipt, right?
I think you're right on that. I think we should limit the responsibilities to the nurse because...
Don't you want a doctor sticking that up your daughter's nose? I mean, a nurse? Like, what's...
It's like, what did the doctor do more of in school?
Right.
Like,
right.
Where does the doctor kick in?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you ask the doctor to do this, is he going to be, like, insulted? Like it's asking an actor to do stand-in work? Yeah, I don't do the stick up the nose, all right? I went to 4 years of medical school. Get the nurse. No. My kid is getting something up its nose. Get the guy out here with the most years in college. Right? Right? Hank likes it. Shit. So, all right. So you got this going on, bro. I mean, you can't. You're having a rough run with the kids, man. This is nerve wracking stuff.
I know. If you're a new listener to the Pete and Sebastian show here, my child Serafina, when she, I don't know, was about 1.5, had some respiratory problems where she was admitted to the hospital 3 separate times in the ICU. So every time a sniffle or a cough or something starts to occur, we get a little nervous. So
yeah.
Now, the bedside manner on this nurse,
mm-hmm.
it was non-existent. She goes, okay, please hold your daughter's forehead and tilt her back. And that's how she kind of described it. So Lana just kind of takes her. And then, not without any warning, right up the nose, takes it out. Serafina's wailing. She leaves the room to go test, right? And Serafina's crying. It's just, it's a, not a good cry. And then I'm looking. I go, babe, babe, she's bleeding. Now, I don't... A flu test with a swab like this?
Yeah.
In my head?
Uh-huh.
If the kid's bleeding, yeah. You did it wrong.
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%. Was there any forewarning that the nose might bleed when I leave?
No.
Holy shit.
Okay,
man.
So now, all right. Is this how it's going to go?
Yeah. So what are you doing right now? I mean, I know you're doing the cover in the nose, but are you like, get the doctor, hurry up? Or are you like...
We got some Kleenex and we're dabbing the nose and trying to calm down Serafina. I don't want anybody else in the room because you bring them out, it's like a negative energy. It's like a, you know, it's like Satan walked in the room.
Yeah, so, no shit, man.
But I didn't know this was the nurse. I thought this was the doctor because I came in late. So I'm thinking this is the doctor.
Oh,
all right?
Whoa, yeah.
Okay, so shortly after the test, I'd say a minute, a guy walks in. No smile, no nothing. Hey, how you doing? She has it. I said, I'm sorry? She has the flu. And I go, I was told that the test takes 15 minutes. Well, when you have it, you have it. Just like that. No nothing. I go, okay, so he goes, let me take a look at her ears. Now, Serafina's coming off the trauma to swab. Now this guy wants to look into her ears. Yeah. And no, like, our doctor's like, all right, we're going to let you know, like, right. It's more like there's a lot of trailers before the movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, and
even when you're saying that she walked out after the swab, a human being in that moment would go, okay, princess, well, you'll be all right. We'll be, you can just walk out like you just stamped a prisoner. Unbelievable, man.
None of that.
All right, you must be fuming right now at this point.
I'm fuming.
Yeah.
This guy is sitting there like this, waiting to go in the ear with his thing, and there's no talking. My wife is calming her. We're calming her down. So he looks in the ear. He's like, yeah, I got fluid behind the ear there. It's not an ear infection, so I'm not going to prescribe anything for what I don't, you know, I don't see. So, you know, just take some adult Afrin and put it up the nose. Now, right away when I heard that, Afrin, I don't even know what that is.
No, yeah.
And I'm thinking if you could buy it, this is how I think medicine. If you could buy it, if you could walk in and buy something off the counter, it don't work, right? You know, Tylenol, Advil, yeah, you got a headache, you take it, maybe the headache goes away. But I want to go into the pharmacy. That's where I want to be.
Right.
If I got a cold. Don't tell me to pick up Afrin up my nose. Come on.
Yeah, well, what is that always, too? Because get the dial off the over the counter, and then that don't work, and then we got to come back and get the heavy-duty stuff. Let's just, you know, cut this halfway dance. And by the way, dude, my kid's bleeding. You got no bedside now, and now you're hitting me with adult in the medicine description? What the f... You know what I'm saying? Just give her some adult and a shot of whiskey. She'll be fine. The fuck, guy? I know it's Florida, but have you ever seen a child before? Holy shit. The bedside manner of a foster parent.
Make no mistake. Florida is the South's trash can.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right. He goes, well just, you know. Take her home, give her a warm bath, and a lot of liquids, and a lot of rest. I go,
oh, rest. Keep her off the farm today, Doc. What the... She's four.
She's two and a half.
Oh, my God. That's right. My daughter's home before. Two and a half. What are you...
Two and a half.
All right, I'll cut it down to 2 hours chores this week. Yeah, you did hear that, Serafina? You dodged a bullet. You don't have to wash the car today. Give her a lot of rest. Oh, this guy is a shit quack.
So I go, What do you mean? I go, what about Tamiflu? I've heard of Tamiflu, which is a prescribed drug when you get the flu. Also, it could be used to prevent the flu if somebody has the flu in your house. Yeah. He goes, no, we don't do that here. We are a holistic office. And I go, that explains everything.
Were you like, oh, so I'm not even in a doctor's office?
I go, listen to me. Is a side effect of being holistic anger? Because nobody's happy here.
That's because they're all sick. They're all in agony because they're all sucking on fucking tree sap. Holy shit.
Oh, man. I tell you, man.
How did you even... they don't prescribe real medicine, right?
He goes, take a warm bath. I go, she takes a warm bath every night.
These are the kind of people that give birth in water. You know that, right?
Yeah. They're in the living room in a turtle pool, yeah. And a baby comes out.
Oh, shit. And if the baby's crying, they give it warm milk. Listen, did you call your mother and go, you sent me to a fucking witch's den? I mean.
So, I go, no. Yeah. And listen, I was in there primarily to get the flu test done, and then I was going to contact my doctor here in Los Angeles and then listen to what he would have done. Like, he would have prescribed whatever medicine he thought. He just needed to know if she had the flu.
If you could have got this test done out of a box in CNN over the, CVS over the counter, you wouldn't even have been in this office, is your point. You just needed to know a confirmation on the flu.
Exactly. But then, I figure I'm there. He knows. Yeah. But then when he goes with the holistic, he goes, I'll write it for you, but we don't do that here with our patients. Yeah. I said, yeah. You got a kid outside who's dying on the woman's arm.
And you're putting baking powder on the tip of his tongue. Hank, by the way, DJ Lou would have been cranking Witchcraft by Sinatra for the past 2 minutes. We got I know. What can we do? By the way, moving forward, you realize that, man, right? We can't, if people want to know where the music is, we are stripped down. Yeah.
They have taken away our music, and we don't have any music. But listen, all right, we're not going to dwell on the past. All right. DJ Lou is DJ Lou. That's what he did.
He was the best. I mean, most people agree he was the best one.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's no longer with us, and we have to deal with this guy, Hank, which nobody knows what this guy looks like. Do we get a description on Hank yet?
We don't even know what he sounds like.
This is, for those listeners that are old listeners, it's basically piped in, and there's no, it's just... we just appear, there's no like show prep with him, nothing. The guy's a ghost.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
She came in out. Now the nurse came back in.
I got to do a timeout, bro. The minute you hear holistic, like, aren't you like just grabbing your coat? I mean, this is a joke. It's an absolute, right? It's like shit. It's shit, right?
I needed to get Caruso tested.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
Okay, so I go, well, then test my son because I want to see if he's got it. And if he's got it, I need to know. So they do the thing on Caruso. Now, she came in. She was a lot more friendlier. So I don't know what happened in between the time she left with the swab and then to the time she came back, but she was a little bit more friendlier. Now I don't know if she's dealing with an infant or what, but so we swab Caruso and he don't have it. So we get out of there. Oh, here's one. He's like, anything that we could take, like that's natural or whatever. We're kind of like just rubbing this guy's ego.
You can be honest. Lana's a semi on board with this.
Yeah. Well, Lana asked about elderberry. This elderberry, you guys use that over there? I don't see that being a household product at the Corielli's.
Did Lana drive there or take her magic carpet? I heard good things about Elderburns.
And he goes, actually, we have a wonderful elderberry, homemade. Hey, yay, homemade.
Homemade.
That's all I pictured, is some guy in his bathtub with his feet squashing elderberries.
I wouldn't know an elderberry if you put it right in front of me. I never even heard of an elderberry, to be honest with you.
It's an old berry. I don't know what it is, but...
Can you imagine me and you as pilgrims the minute the Indians came up with us and said, rub this on you. Yay. You go get some pants and come back to me with suggestions. The fuck are you talking about?
So... Yeah. I called my doctor and explained to him what I was just told. He goes, yeah, you're getting Tamiflu. The whole family's getting it.
And I'm getting you a charter flight out of there. Holy shit. you're getting the Tamiflu. I love it, dude.
Hawks and birds are not the only serial killings around here. Pete and Sebastian continue to murder the English language on a weekly basis. Welcome to Embarrassing Grammar.
Well, like if I was president, I called to China. What's the guy's name? XI? I think. I think it is.
Holy shit.
Right? So, however that's pronounced.
It's pronounced Xi Jinping.
Six letters. Difference between a well-dressed bicyclist.
Sebastian means to say cyclist or biker.
That movie I told you to watch, Contagion.
Strike one.
Hey, that movie I told you to watch, Contagion.
Strike two. He'll say it differently again next time, but it's Contagion. And I'm still not gonna watch that fucking thing.
Oh, is it Kirk Hamlick or something?
Pete is trying to say Kirk Hammett, the guitarist for Metallica.
That shit's hot, man.
Buy Amazon, so are those the ones at the warehouse? But if you get Nike, then they gotta call Nike. I don't know.
Pete refuses to say Nike.
Can you just go to Adidas?
Certainly. Also, Puma is easier to pronounce.
Yeah, no, I hear you. The closest I've come to sex with my wife is when she washed the ass of my crack with the loofah sponge.
Pete meant to say, ha ha, never mind. That's fine.
You want to be like the guy that's like, I told you guys, I was the one always preaching patience. No, you were the one preaching shutting down the garden? What the fuck?
I'm preaching about proper pronunciation, but you keep on sinning. Before our final lesson, let me just say, beluga caviar is caviar consisting of the eggs of the beluga sturgeon, a fish. The beluga whale is just a small whale, a mammal. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Professor Maniscalco.
With the caviar, is this just any fish egg?
It's whale eggs.
Whale eggs?
Yeah.
Each little nugget.
Yeah, a whale, I think, has a lot of eggs in the pouch.
Right.
It's like taking the eggs out of a fertile woman.
Is that a type of whale, beluga?
Lou? Oh, sorry, we don't have Lou anymore.
Where are you going, guy? God damn, dude.
What's this guy's name? Hank?
Hank!
What did you ask?
I was asking, is that a type of whale?
Beluga whales, yeah.
Oh, well, wait. I didn't know you know your whales.
He sure doesn't. that's all for today, class. Be safe out there. Later. And wear your fucking masks, please. Jesus, it's not that hard. I wear mine to protect you.
Pete, what do you got? I know you got some stuff over there. I saw a pad or something. What's going on?
What a pad? No, it's a couple things I just jotted.
Yeah. What do you got?
This ends with a question. All right. So yesterday, at work, writing on the show here, and I go to use the bathroom. Now, there's two bathrooms right by the writer's room. One of them they now designated, it's single-person bathrooms. They designated one for the men's, one for the women, whatever. Now, whenever I gotta, if I have to, do more than just pee, if you know what I'm saying, I go basically cross-campus. This is a giant studio, past the HBO studio, all the way to these bathrooms that, like, nobody knows about. You know what I mean? I ain't playing. Nobody but without the Corielli as the last name has smelled my shit, in the past 10 years. Come on, you know? So I go to use the bathroom. It's closed, but so many times people use it, keep it closed when they're done just because we don't, So I go up. I go to open it up. My favorite person who works in this whole building, one of the guys, he's not a writer, but literally my favorite person. He's the guy who gets the food and drives everyone around. He's sitting on the ball taking a dump. He's got his phone from little bald ass. And he goes, "Someone's in here, someone's in here." And I go, "Oh, sorry, man." And I close it. And he goes, "The fuck?" And I go, "Bro, you got to lock it." And he goes, "Fuck it, I did lock it." And I go, "It wasn't locked." And, we just had a big, big laugh over it. He comes out, I'm cackling. And I'm like, dude. Now, my question to you is, I go, "Bro, you got to lock the bathroom door." And he goes, "You got to knock." And I go, no. When a man approaches a bathroom, it's not my responsibility to knock. It's your responsibility to lock. And he goes, "Well, I did think it was locked. What else could I do?" I go, I was telling him my move. I go, if I'm ever in that situation where I'm dumping, not only do I lock, I blast the faucet. So there's volume. So they know there's someone in here doing it, right?
Nice move.
My question is that ever on the guy coming in, right? I mean, do you do a knock?
I've never knocked on a bathroom door in my life.
That's why
I just go there and it's not somebody's house.
No.
You're just assuming that it's open, and then the responsibility lies on the person performing the duty on the other side. I don't, but let me ask you this.
Yeah, there's a...
Were you surprised that this guy knew about the bathroom? Like
No. He was doing it right by the writer's room. So on top of that, I was surprised.
I thought you went to your bathroom that nobody knows about and he was in there.
No, I was just going in this one to take a leak.
Okay.
I said that, I go, "Bro, on top of that," I go, you dump right here. I go cross campus. And he goes, "I don't have that kind of time. They need me in 2 seconds. I don't care, dude. The minute somebody, if a friend of mine sees me taking a dump, like when I'm not expecting to be seen, I can't really be friends with him anymore because he's seen me in such a vulnerable situation.
It's so vulnerable.
It's because he had his knees together and he was scrolling through articles. He looked so peaceful. He looked so peaceful. He had that look like, oh, just a moment to myself. And he had that look like of total embarrassment.
You can't do nothing. That's why. It's not one of those things where you could, do anything. You're there. You're sitting there. Your pants are around your ankles. What you could do, stand up.
And he couldn't reach the door. And exactly. So if he stands up, I'm going to see even more. So he's just doing that with a hand, classic.
So yeah. Is there a way where you would walk in on somebody and they don't look vulnerable? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like every time I go in there, if somebody walked in on me, they'd go, "Wow, what a pussy!" Just the way I'm sitting.
Yeah.
Do you think some guys are in there like this? Like, if I walked in on a guy like this,
yeah,
right? I'd go, "God, that looks cool. Like, I gotta start doing that," right? Like, or just one on, like, just one of these. If you got a phone
Yeah.
You just look sad.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I'll be honest with you. Like when I'm on the road, like now at the hotel and stuff, when I'm going, because I go, I mean, I am on schedule like a Delta flight guy. A Delta flight. You could book my dumps like time-wise. So I bring my candle over and put it on the floor, my lit candle from my room in the hotel. I put it on the floor near me, bring my cell phone. Everybody take a deep breath. My coffee, and put it on the edge of the sink. And my little trick, my one-hitter situation. What?
This is at the studio?
No, this is when I'm doing it at the hotel.
Oh, at the hotel. So you got like food and beverages. Right?
Yeah, I got a candle going. I got my weed, everything, man.
You're smoking pot on the toilet?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God.
Yeah. No, you're
getting hopped up on caffeine. There's pot. There's a candle there. Jeez.
That's a lot to work with. Well, I don't want to get crass, but Stern talks about this kind of stuff, and it's actually changed my life because he has some patterns that I can relate to. But I try to let it all, run its own course. You know what I mean? It's not rush anything. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah, no. You relax. Yeah. You don't force anything. I appreciate that. And as we're on this topic, I must tell you what happened to me last night. Last night, we brought our nanny to Florida to watch the kids because we went there for a wine festival, so there's a lot of activity and what have you. So I put Serafina down last night about 7:30. Nanny put Caruso down, and I thought the nanny was in Caruso's room. So I was texting her saying, hey, I just put down Serafina. I'm going to go and get something to eat. Do you want anything? Now, as I'm mobile, kind of going through the house, texting her.
Yeah.
And there's a bathroom. There's the bathroom, and then you walk through the bathroom, and there's a door, and it opens up into the laundry room. It's kind of a weird way they have it at my mother-in-law's house. I don't know why you would attach a bathroom to a laundry room and have to walk through the bathroom to get it. So the laundry room is closed. The door's closed, but the bathroom door is open, so I walk in. I sit down, not to be crass. There's some noises coming out of there, right?
Out of the bed.
I'm making some noises.
All right. Beep, bop, boop, bop, beep, bop.
So I get a text back from my nanny, and she goes, oh, no, I don't need anything to eat. I'm doing laundry. So she's in the room right next to me. But she don't know it's me in there. She could think it's my mother-in-law, my father-in-law. So I pick up my pants and I run the hell out of there. That's all I need is her opening the door and seeing that her boss sitting there texting her. I run out of there.
Go ahead. No, you.
Go ahead.
Do you really think that like she wouldn't be able to distinguish the ass sounds of you as opposed to a woman? I mean,
do you think those sounds are completely different?
Bro, I think she texted you because she heard you shitting. I can't believe you don't even see it any other way. She's like, this is so embarrassing. I'm going to shoot him a text, see if I can put an end to this cannon. What the fuck? She was trapped, right? According to you, trapped. She'd have to... Yeah.
She'd have to walk past me to get out.
And God forbid you bang a left into the laundry for something. You're going to be like, whatever the name is. You obviously heard me shitting there the whole time. This is doubly embarrassing. Yeah, I'm telling you.
There's those bathroom moments. So you're, you bring up a good point, and I start to reminisce about when I was working at a company and they had bathrooms. I was like you. I would seek out bathrooms that I thought nobody knew they were there.
Yeah.
Like I remember I used to work at United Airlines Employees Credit Union. There was a bathroom in the warehouse, and only two people worked in the warehouse. And the people that worked in the front office used a nice bathroom. I would rather go to a bathroom that's half fixed up than the nice bathroom. I'd rather go to a bathroom where you see like it doubles as a cleaning closet.
That's so what I'm saying, yeah. That's the one I go to. You know them big toilet rolls on the size of a wheel?
Yeah, yeah.
They just got that dangling on the coat hook on the back door of the stall. Because the construction guys use it to shit when they're building their stage sets.
Yeah, that's what I go for.
Yeah.
You know you're not going to get any normal human being in there wanting to go. So But I would get upset when I would go to that bathroom and it was like locked and somebody in there, somebody else found this?
I know, you feel like, you know, oh, it's the worst feeling, man, because the minute you know somebody else is dumping on there, it's
not a good thing.
This is the kind of stuff I love, these kind of questions on the cast. My father-in-law, let's be honest, you know, he's in his late 80s, and don't get me wrong, 2 weeks ago in his late 80s, he did 15 miles. He went and did Jackie's spin class with her and did 15 miles, so he's still doing that, right? But, you know, you can start to see, he's 87, you know, and it's like you can start to see we're definitely in the last few years of, not the last few, but we're at the end. I know he knows I love his daughter. And I know I love the guy, he loves me, he's like a second father, and we got a great relationship, and da-da-da. But I just spent Saturday afternoon with him, and I came this close, we're at a party, to leaning over and saying to him in private while we're having a beer, and I didn't, but I want to say it to him before he passes.
Yeah.
I wanted to lean over and say, with all the traveling I do, and the shows you've been to and the things I've done, I just want you to know that I have never, ever cheated on your daughter. I have never even flirted with another woman or gave another woman the impression that I might want to be with her in the entire time I have been with the daughter that you have. And he would probably go, maybe, oh, it's nothing I think about. And I would go, Yeah, it is. what'd you take? Like, if you were on your deathbed and a guy leaned over, Serafina's husband leaned over and said to you, I have never cheated on your daughter or thought about another woman or anything, but wouldn't you be like, nice?
No, you know what I'd do?
What?
You did something.
Actually, with your connection, you'd go, I know.
I've had you trapped for the last 30.
but do you think he'd want to know that? Or do you think he knows that?
He threw me for a loop here because I thought you were going down another tunnel. I thought you were going to say, listen, I just want you to know that. I don't know if I've ever told you this before, but and I'd rather tell you now than when maybe you can't hear this or whatnot, but you've been an unbelievable second father to me. And I couldn't have asked a better family to be a part of. And I just want you to know that. I know sometimes I never, you know, share my feelings, but I just wanted to tell you that. I think if you went that route, it would be a lot more, I don't know, I mean,
dude, highly disagree, bro. Highly. Dude, I would rather have the exact opposite. I would rather be on my deathbed and have my son-in-law say to me, I've never cheated on your daughter. I love her to death. I've never even flirted with anyone else. But you're a fucking asshole. I can't stand you. And then I die. That's fine. Just don't cheat on my kid. No?
I don't know where that comes from. If I'm sitting there hooked up to tubes with a breathing mask and Serafina's husband said, just want you to know I never cheated on your daughter, I would automatically take off the mask and go, who'd you fuck?
Oh, you wouldn't believe him, huh?
Yeah.
Shit.
What stopped you from doing this, and will you do this in the future?
What stopped me was the fact that I just felt like it might have been coming out of left field to him and that he wouldn't know how to react to it.
Yeah.
So what made me stop was I thought, which I haven't yet, I was like, let me run this by you on the cast. And then also let me run it by Jackie. And because I know there's a certain, he sees me and he knows the way I'm with his wife and I know his daughter, I mean, and I know in his eyes, he's probably like, he's always been great and he's wonderful. But dude, we don't have normal lives. I'm not going into Chase Bank every week and getting behind the glass. He's been to shows where there are people that, you know, want to meet me and da-da-da. So I just thought it'd be a little nice, like, little gift basket, a going-away basket. Just to know.
Here's your parting gift. What? Dude, where am I going?
I saw a photo the other day of Eddie Vedder with his wife of many years now. I had a discussion with DJ Lou recently where I was like, whoa, man, he must have been with her a while. She doesn't... Anyway... they've been together a long time, and she, based just on the photo and the way she was hugging him and holding him, it seemed pretty clear to me that this woman ain't down with the whole way you can bang who you want when you're in Milwaukee, but when you're home, you're with nah. She looked like the kind of, if we're doing this, you ain't being with anyone else. Yeah. So he probably said, we're doing that, and that's, I love you to death. I'm Eddie Vedder, but I'm still going to be a one woman. I'm going to write songs about you. But if I was that woman's dad, it would be a nice touch if Eddie Vedder came up to me on my deathbed and said, hey, listen, I've been true to the whole thing. I haven't banged anybody. Like, are you serious? Oh, yeah. I'm like, dude, that means a lot to me because I really think you can probably fuck people. So, you know, I'm just saying it. So it's a nice touch.
Have you asked Jackie yet?
I've done it with Jackie. I've said to Jackie, I just want you to know in all these years, I've never even... flirt with another woman, you don't ever have to worry about da da da. And you know what she looks at me and says? What do you want, a fucking medal? You want a fucking medal? That's what you do. That's the commitment. I go, yeah, no, I'm just saying, you know. Then I start throwing other dudes under the bus. Bobby, you know, sometimes. It's like, yeah, it's a pretty big deal to not cheat on your wife these days, right? It's like,
barely. When the norm seems to be everybody is doing it, I was asking if you had brought this up to Jackie in regards to her father.
No, I've only brought it up to you. I'm going to bring it up to her next weekend.
What do you think she's going to say? I got to think she's going to go, Pete, don't do that.
I think she's going to say, I think my dad doesn't think about that, and I think he thinks you haven't. And I'm like, you know what, though? That's the thing. You're a woman, and you're not the father of a daughter. And you can say all that you want, but I think if the father truly believes that the son-in-law is being honest with him, and that son-in-law says, hey, let's grab a beer. I even thought about having doing it over a beer with him. Just like, yeah. Just want you to know, in all these years, I've been true to your daughter. Completely true. Never even flirted.
You're supposed to, you dumb motherfucker! What are you talking about? What kind of ignorant shit is that? I ain't never been to jail. What, you want a cookie?
And then he'd go, I never thought you would. Like, hey, I just can't think that's just not nice.
What response are you looking for? I mean,
nothing. I just want him to know. It's like no different than telling my daughter I love her. I just, you know, like my dad said to me on his deathbed, I never cheated on your mother. I would go, wow, I definitely thought you did like 2-3 times. Good to know, right? You know, I mean, even for splitting up the stuff when he dies, you know, I'd be like, wouldn't you feel, it's a big thing, man. It's a big thing. It's not cheating on your wife and like not even having a tough time doing it, just being that much in love. That's as much as of accomplishment as whatever you did at your job for 30 years and vice versa, man. You know, You couldn't imagine your wife cheating on you, right?
Like, no, it would be devastating.
Devastating. And I would never, any other woman after that, I am so out there. Like, I am so trusted to my wife that if she cheated on me, any other woman, I'd just be like, listen, you are getting a damaged goods right now. You're getting damaged goods.
there will never be a time when you don't go to 7-Eleven where I think you're blowing somebody. If you can live with that, then let's do this. But we are out there, right, bro? We are completely exposed. Your life can be ruined. You come home a day, or right? So, I mean, last week, I called Jackie, right? And she was doing something. I can't talk right now. I'm watching my favorite movie. I'm watching a movie. I just sat down. I don't want to talk right now. And I go, that's fine. I love you, babe. Love you too. Bye. And I got off the phone. And I'm like, bro, this is total, like, right now, if you really break it down, this is like she's half naked. The guy, you know, she's throwing it in, like, I called and she's like, I got to pick up. He's in the Days Inn in Hicksville. The fuck? It'll be weird. Yeah. And I literally thought about, do I call her back on FaceTime and make... and make her give me a 360 of the living room right now. And then, but you can't. You just totally trust, right? And then in hindsight, you go, I should have did the fucking panoramic 360. I should have did it. So I'm just saying, bro, we are naked, man. We are exposed and we are out there. We are in love and it's dangling.
Well, listen, yeah. It's funny because... You know, I'd have to think with technology and the way it is today that it is, and I don't know why it is as prevalent as it is, but I do not know how men think they're going to get away with cheating. Say back in the 70s, there was no... way to find out where you were. It was you literally left the house and no one could find you.
Yeah, no.
Right?
Yeah.
There was a story about 2-3 months ago I read that a guy was having an affair and the wife found out because his Apple Watch was connected on an app with her Apple Watch because they used to work out together and used to keep track of the calories burned. She's at home and she happens to look at her workout app and her husband's heartbeat is up to 172. He's not there, right? And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. So he ain't working out. This guy's having sex with his Apple Watch on, and his wife at home saw that his heart rate had increased.
Holy shit.
And that's how he got caught. So it's like, with the technology out there, like the guy didn't even, I mean, like he didn't even put the two and two together that might even happen.
Right,
so
right.
How in the hell are you going to go around town cheating? Even if you wanted to, it's virtually impossible. I've often told my wife this. I said, first of all, I stink at lying.
Yeah.
And I can't. It's written all over me. I come home and my wife doesn't like when I have Chipotle because it's got rice and it's not high in sodium and whatnot. So I come home and, you know, I gave her a kiss and she goes, did you have Chipotle? Like, right away, she knows, right?
Guess what? You're busted.
Hey! Yeah. And this is with, like, brushing my teeth. Like, this is what I'm worried about. I'm worried about my wife finding out that I'm going off my diet rather than sleeping with a girl.
But there's also, though, when you cheat, and again, let's make it pretty clear. We're not cheating because we might get caught. It's just not in our MO. We pick women and we're in. We're all in. We're on the table and we're all in. But back in those 70s, I'm hearing you. You go and you sleep with some woman in Milwaukee at some conference. Yeah, maybe even give her a fake name, some shit. Who knows, right? But you're like, all right, that's done. That happened. But don't you always have the fear that you'll be mowing your lawn and your kids are playing out in the front, they're doing wiffle ball, and some fucking blonde lady starts doing a 15-mile drive, 50-mile-an-hour drive, down the road. You're like, oh my God, is that the fucking lady from Milwaukee? Oh, fuck. Yeah. Kids, go inside. Go inside. Go inside. Yeah, like, I don't want that shit hanging over me, man. And, like, even when I do this. Have you ever done this move? I look at Jackie on the couch. I'll do this, like, I'd say, like, once every 5-6 months, twice a year. And as we get older, she's even more disgusted by it, but I still do it. We'll be on the couch, usually watching a movie, maybe with so much cheating, and I'll pause it, and I'll look at her, and I'll go, baby, you know I've never cheated. I know. I just want you to know, if you cheated on me, I go, even if you made out with a guy once when I was on the road, then everything, even if that happened 15 years ago, you made out with a guy once at a New Year's Eve party when I was on the road, everything up till now, it's fake. It's fucking not real. It's tainted. It's all fake. It's fucking, you can live with it and you can pretend this has been real, but the past 15 years is shit if you did that. And she'll go, I know I didn't. I go, hey guys, as long as you know, because if you did, you can think this is real, but it's not. It's all been nothing. It's been nothing. It's been puffing me. Bro, that's intense, right? But it.
Oh, man. Yeah, would, I don't know.
If you were the wife, though, would that make you in that moment go, fine, Jerry, I fucking blew him behind the shed?
No, or would you still? I'd call my friend and go, can you believe this idiot? Still don't know I fucked the guy on New Year's Eve.
but you're saying, though, saying that to the other person, if they're hiding a secret, that's not going to make them give it up more, right?
No.
Yeah, it's
just let the movie play and stop bringing that up. You're right on the whole thing about in the 70s and the hanging over you. I mean, even worse would be cutting your lawn and you're emptying the bag of grass out, and from behind you, you hear, Dad?
Oh my God. Did you have a child?
Could you imagine Sadie having a half brother?
What would Lana take easier? She would, because I've had this conversation with Jackie too. If a kid comes your way that looks exactly like the Schwarzenegger maid kid, you know that dude, like that thing, right? I mean that kid. Oh well, fuck. I mean that thing, meaning that situation. Yeah. But like, if you saw a kid walking down the street, and he's like 18 years old, he looks exactly like you, and you're like, oh yeah, that's mine. Now, but this is before Lana was in your life.
Yeah.
Now. Then you go in with Lana and you're like, we got a wrinkle in the Maniscalc. She's got to take that kid in as a stepchild to your kids. Like,
God, yeah, that's a big ask.
And now if it's a kid that looks exactly like you that comes down the street, well, since you've been with Lana, then you run him over with your car. Yeah, no, but that's a whole different ball game, right? Obviously.
Then I go up to him and I go, who's your mom? I'm your father, but I don't recognize the other half. I think it's safe to say that... the Corielli Maniscalco household is cheat free.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we roll. When you can, anyone out there, and again, this show is a show, but it's also, as you say, a lifestyle.
A lifestyle. And absolutely.
And we're telling the listeners, guys, when you get married, man, just try to be the best husband you can possibly be. Stay loyal. Right?
Loyalty.
And if you can't, this is my thing, right? Like, I've had these conversations. I'll be honest with you. I've had these conversations with my wife. I'm like, we got to do it. If we don't do it, that's where problems start to happen. Are we getting to, what's this turning into, like Dr. Oz right now?
I don't know. Is this Love Line?
Do you think you're the father of the child whose mother you admitted to sleeping with one time? You said no. The lie detector test determined that was a lie.
I don't know. I that's my fault.
The show has ended.
I never cheated on your mother. I would go, wow, I definitely thought you did like 2-3 times.